Genesis chapter 6 verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Okay, so jump with me. Can you jump? Jump with me. Let's take some few verses. First verse of interest will be verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Another scripture I'd like you to consider is verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Okay, so we'll do step by step. Many things I will say today, you will not believe that it's in the Bible, but be patient. I will show you. Be patient. Patient. So, if you notice, there is an indication of a geometric progression that is in verse 1. Can you see the geometric progression there? Am I speaking too high? We are in America. You should know what geometric progression is, what arithmetic progression is. Huh? So they say the best schools are here. So that's why I say it without. If it's not true, just tell me so that I will now change. I won't make it easy for you because they say the best schools are in America. Can you see the sense of a geometric progression in verse 1? Because the Bible says what? While? Huh? Okay, let me get it. And it came to pass when men began to multiply. That's geometric progression. It didn't say when men began to add, they began to. So there was a population explosion. And the population explosion was among men. It will interest you to know, if you follow the story that we were trying to chart from yesterday, it would interest you to know that even though the reference was to men, but the actual race that multiplied was the race of Cain. So that scripture, verse 1, is with particular reference to the race of Cain. It was the race of Cain that multiplied. The other race, which is the guys that began to intercede, the other race were, it was an arithmetic progression. But in the race of Cain, it was a geometric progression. Now, you will wonder, the guys that chose sin, the guys that chose rebellion, were the guys that began to multiply. Initially, it is as if sin produces results faster than righteousness. And that is the reason for which believers that are not grounded in the ways of the Lord will begin to envy people that are not working with the principles of the kingdom of God. You're not with me? No, don't worry. It's Bible study. Let me, to make you come with me, I'll take you to the book of Psalms. Sister, yeah, take a mic, read for me. Psalm 73, beginning from verse 1. No, you can sit. You can sit. Just listen to her.
The word of the Lord says, truly God is good to Israel.
This is the general testimony. God is good to Israel.
Even to such as are of a clean heart.
Even to such that are of a clean heart.
But as for me.
And so he has a story that is different from that introduction.
My feet were almost gone.
Yeah.
My steps had well nigh slipped.
This guy was about to backslide.
For I was envious at the foolish.
I was envious at the foolish.
When I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
So I told you now that the race of Cain, they were the ones that broke through. They had population explosion. It was as if the idea of Cain to establish a city that existed apart from God, it was as if the idea was flourishing. Should I say something? You will find a lot of people that are flourishing without God. Because if the yardstick of our measurement of if the essence of our gospel is on the table of prosperity, then you are going to find unbelievers that are prospering more than believers. So if that's your vista of assessment and your scale of measurement, you're already in error. So this guy, this psalmist, I want to believe that he was in church when the prosperity gospel was reigning. So it was a parameter of success and economic empowerment that they assessed every single thing. Meanwhile, that vista was inaccurate. Meanwhile, but it was going to be the reason why he was attempting to backslide, that there was no need for him to continue. Yeah, go on. He saw some details, yes?
For there are no bands in their death.
There are no bands in their death.
But their strength is firm.
Their strength is firm.
They are not in trouble as other men.
They are not in trouble as other men.
Neither are they plagued with other men.
They are not plagued with other men. I remember the last time you had to raise money for your rent. It took faith and effort. But you see, some people that are not going by the principles of the kingdom of God, it's as if things come smoothly. So that was the assessment that this guy was making. Because he was not armed with the understanding that initially it will be unrighteousness that will begin to produce results quickly. Unrighteousness will begin to prosper quickly. It's like GMO plants. They will spring forth and cover the entire farm. But the real organic plants take time. So if the vista from whence you measure God, if you're God assessment is on the table of prosperity and natural human success, you will come to the conclusion that righteousness was designed to set men back. Are you there? Yeah, go on, sister.
Therefore, pride compasseth them about.
Because nothing cautions them, there's no resistance against them, because in the world of men they have been able to their wealth has given them access and recognition. You know, they don't go through the normal processes that people go through, because they have their own ways of getting by and it is smoother for them. All right? Yeah?
As a chain. Violence covered.
So they can accommodate pride. They can accommodate violence. They can threaten people without any consequence. Yeah, go on.
Cover them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness.
Their eyes stand out with fatness.
They have.
I remember, wait, sister, calm down. I remember when we were missionaries from the village, there was a minister's conference. We're coming from the village. They ushered us. And we're sitting close to a pastor that was preaching in the city. We were skinny. And we observed. that we were. There are many occasions where Satan will seize the moment to preach to you. We were skinny from the village. Jesus Christ. Not because it was fasting, not because we couldn't afford food. We were fasting. Fasting for how many years? And I over fasted. He affected this my body. He affected it. So we're standing before a city preacher. He was full. Do you know what it means for your stomach to be flat to the back? You don't need to go to the gym to lose stomach fat, lose belly fat. You have lost it already because there is a perpetual calorie deficit, perpetually. These guys, you say their eyes stand out. What? With fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Unrighteousness will produce results faster than righteousness. So if your eyes are on earthly results, you will miss the goal of righteousness. A time came for about 10 years in Nigeria. They captioned almost every ministry. The caption for their conference was, in one way or the other, what is results? That's when we miss God. Because I've seen people that God called to be in the village. Great prophets. That if they were in the city centers, they would have been a sensation. But their calling assigned them to rural missions. And that was what they did, and that was what they did till they died. They were not celebrated by too many people, but in heaven, the scales were different. I had a few privileges to be caught up into heaven. A few privileges, not too many, a few of them. That was when I saw men like that, that were nameless people. The ones that I knew that had names in that assessment that was done, some of the named ones, the ones you know, the highest among the named ones was 20%. There was this machine that looked like a bulletproof machine that banks in Nigeria use. So you step into the machine, you get scanned, then you step out of the machine. And then the machine will print out God's perspective about you. I was on that line. So known preachers were in front. We that were unknown were at the back. And because we were at the back, I was privileged to see what the thing printed out. There's even someone that is still preaching today, his own was zero. Oh, meanwhile, he's doing something. What was printed out was zero. I saw marks like 7.5%, 12%, 13%, 13%, 13%. Then one now tried. It now became 20%. So I was wondering what we will get. Then in faceless man that was standing before me, when he entered it, it was 85. That was the highest that I saw. Then me, I now entered. My own was 50. I said, no. Who is in charge of this? Who is in charge of this thing? Let's trace the person that's in charge. That was when the angel of the Lord, that was my tour guide, now gave me insight. I said, the reason why your marks were lower than what you expected is not because of you. It's because you see people under you doing wrong and you don't tell them. I changed from that day. Those days I can keep quiet. You want to be bad? Okay. This is how you want to. I now saw that disposition was wrong. So, just know that it is a blessing for someone to trace you and say, sister, don't go this way. I changed. And I kept. that instruction. The next time an assessment came, that assessment took place 7 nights. The scope was not Nigeria, the scope was Africa. They went and picked young ministers. Fortunately for me, I was among them. And then they were screening. It was 4 levels of screening. I was one of the best in the first 2 levels of screening. Then the 3rd level of screening, they were even saying they will cancel me out. It was one of the elders that came and pleaded that, I know this one. Long pleading. Then I wondered. And then the last screening, I now passed that one. At the end of the day, there were many people that went through the screening, but were 7 that came out. I will not say more than that. Were 7 that came out of that screen. So the issue that was raised when they were arguing at the 3rd stage, I also took notice of that issue. Do you get it now? Keep reading. I think we are going to verse 16. Just read till verse 16.
They have more than heart could wish.
More than heart could wish.
They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression.
Corrupt and speak wickedly.
They speak loftily.
Loftily.
They set their mouth against the heavens.
Set their mouth against the heavens. So they have finished dealing with human beings. Now it's the heavens. When you bring the issues of God, they'll say, is there God? You see, that's trespass. All right, go on. Just because of prosperity. This is what prosperity does to an unbeliever. Makes him feel like God. And if you don't know your race, the carelessness in their lifestyle will become an obstacle to your race if you don't know your race. You will see people that you are obviously smarter than, obviously everything. They will use crooked means and then begin to advance. If you don't know your race, you will think the person is advancing. Yes, go on.
They set their mouth against the heaven.
Okay, so you know that. Jump to verse 16.
Yes, sir. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me.
It was too painful for me.
Until I went into the sanctuary of God.
So he needed to use another vista to assess the situation. He went into the sanctuary of God. He went into another dimension. He went to look from another telescope. That's when the truth came out. Yes?
Then understood I their end.
Yes? Tell us about their end. Yes?
Surely thou didst set them in slippery.
The first thing here is that God, that your prosperity is a snare. Oh, you're not with me. It's a snare that has been designed to preoccupy them so that the time they will die, it will be sudden. They will not have time to repent. Are you there? Just like nobody plans to sleep. Do you plan to step on bananas? Nobody plans to sleep. But once you step on it, your eyes will be clear. So the prosperity, that pseudo prosperity, is a blindfold that is used to keep them perpetually distracted until they slip off and skid off the seasons where they would have had opportunities to repent. He never knew this until he went into the sanctuary and he viewed by a different vista. May God give you the eyes to see from God's assessment prism. Now let me talk to these sisters here. Now I know most of you want husbands that whose name where's that place in what they call that place in New York, Wall Street. Whose names are on the digital boards of Wall Street. May you not use the vista, the eye view, the world view of this age to assess the person that can be your husband or not. You must go into the sanctuary and then you must see from that perspective. That's when you are seen by truth. If my wife did not see by the sanctuary, all right, when I came to her, because, you know, my own, she took a risk. Your own was not a risk. You were a Zenith Bank guy now. You're a strong man now. You are a strong man. My own was more of a risk than your own. If she did not see through that vista, and meanwhile, this was my proposal. Please, you can learn how to propose from me. So, I told her that in this arrangement, marriage can come out of it, but say no. That was the proposal. Make sure you say no. Make sure. I told you I was Elijah then. Kai, Jesus Christ. May the Lord give you understanding. So even if somebody comes with this kind of proposal, make sure you see it from the sanctuary. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. So the descendants of Cain experienced an explosion in population. They multiplied. It was as if the idea of Cain is prospering. The idea of Cain is beginning to flourish. It was during the time when their population began to multiply. You know, they had created a platform of a society that was built apart from God. Don't forget that. Angels that had rebelled with Satan and were cast out from heaven, and they had a rebellious throne. They had rebellious thrones in the second heaven. Found this civilization that Cain was building to be compatible with the ideology. Are you following? So since those angels were claiming that they were no longer under the dominion of God, the original rules that were supposed to govern angelic operations, which required that they should retain their habitation, they felt that those rules were no longer applicable to them, given that they were no longer under God's authority, decided to shelf that rule and then to mingle themselves with humankind. Now, that is what we call a trespass. Anytime you see the word trespass, it means that there's a commandment that is supposed to restrain you. All right? Commandment that is supposed to do what? Restrain. When you hear stuff like, thou shall not commit adultery, that is a commandment that acknowledges that apart from the fact that you are married, you can still have affection for other people outside. But then there's a restraining order. So trespass is committed when someone violates a restraining order. And if you don't know, I need to educate you today. One of the specialties of the occult is that they want to motivate people to violate restraining orders. So when you hear that someone has joined the occult, right? They want him to break the Ten Commandments. If you ask me, how do I know this? I know this because I'm a deliverance minister. Once upon a time, it was on Christmas Day. I took leave, came back home from work to come and play with my son. Where is Joshua? Okay. So, I was so excited about the fact that I had a son. So, I took leave, came back home to play with him and to play with my wife. We came back from church on Christmas Day. You know, in my wedding, they bought my suit from London. And the person that bought it thought that I had. So when I wore the suit, I looked like Kai. It was a stretch. So it took me 2 years to build fat, to be able to fit it. So that Christmas was the first time I realized that I now the suit fits me after 2 years of marriage. So I wore it and it was so fine. I loved it. I came back happy with myself. Got back home, knock on the door. What's the problem? A family came to me and said, somebody sent them to me. Okay, that's what? Their son has ran mad. You know, in the US, you call it, it's mentally unwell. No. This guy was mad. He was mad. I said, what is my business that your son is mad? I'm not here for you. I'm here for my family. I've not been at home for. So my wife now came and asked me, can you help? Can you help them? I said, yeah, I think so. So if it's for us, you came. We are now telling you now that go and help them. You're also doing it for us. I said, okay, no problem. So I now followed them to the psychiatric hospital. The guy's name was Sunday. We moved through the ward. I saw someone. The guy, his leg was like this. And it was like that. Huh? We left that one. Move. And I now saw Sunday. Sunday was jabbing his head on the wall. Just jabbing. Just as he saw me, started jabbing. I called him Sunday. He now turned and looked. I laid hands on him. He fell down, began to manifest. And then many people in the psychiatric world began to manifest. The nurses came. It was not the demons they cast out. It was me. They cast. It was me. They heard me and threw me out of the world. How did Sunday become mad? There was an occult grandmaster that moved into our city quietly. He holds his ancestral veneration ceremonies on Wednesdays. And they invited this young man to join the cult with the promise that he will become wealthy if he does a few sacrifices. So, in that occult, you must break one of them. They'll give you, you pick one of the 10 commandments that you will break. Are you following? All right. So that's what the occult does. The occult is set up to ensure that people violate their trespass. They violate obvious godly kingdom instructions. And when this is done, the power of darkness over that city will become strengthened. So he picked, opened. What he saw was adultery. They say you will need to commit adultery. Look for someone that is married. The wife must sleep with the person. He said, that's not a problem. They say, sorry, you didn't hear us. What we mean is that sleep with your mother. And if you don't do it in 14 days, you'll run mad. I'm not telling you stories that I read in the book. I'm talking about my ministry. In 14 days, you are going to run mad. So the guy came back home, couldn't do it. Nan told his mom, said that I joined something. I bound my soul with a covenant. And this was the terms of the covenant. I could not deliver on it. And there are two options. They say I will either die suddenly or I'll run mad on the 14th day. So he told the mom that if I die, well, I've died now. But if I don't die and I run mad, take me to a pastor to deliver me. So fortunately for him, he ran mad. It was that madness that made them come to visit me on Christmas Day. And my wife that I came to play with, she now said, this part of the play is to go and help these people. So I now went to the psychiatric, and you know, you have heard the story, they threw me out of the psychiatric ward. The nurses became powerful with me, but they were still powerless with the demons. So I now told them that they've cast me out, as you can see. Can you discharge that boy? Ask them to discharge him. I'll be waiting for you in church by 4 p.m. So they discharged the boy, took him to church. I came to church, drove there by 4 p.m. I saw them, called one of my pastors. His name is Pastor Matthew. You can ask Pastor Matthew if you... Yeah, when you see, I think we don't have any other Pastor Matthew. So ask them for Pastor Matthew and confirm this my story. We were walking towards the guy, the mad guy, and then the Holy Spirit now touched me on this hand. So I knew he was with me. So I went to him, the hand that I felt that is touched, I placed it on him, and I began to pray in tongues. Now this guy has not slept for 14 days. So when I began to pray for him, he slept in my hands. I dropped him on the floor. I told them, when he wakes up, give him food to eat. So I finished the prayer by 4:13. The prayer was for 13 minutes. That's how the madness left him. He slept him. I left. I went to my house. He woke up 9 p.m. Asked for food. They gave him. He slept again. He woke up 1 a.m. asked for food. They gave him. He slept again. Then he woke up 3 a.m. and asked, why is he here? So Matthew called me and said, he has woken up. He's in his right sense. I said, detain him. Let him not go home. Then we led him to Christ. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. He wanted to go home. We said, no, you can't go home for the next 3 days. We taught him night vigil. Pray from 12 midnight. To 5 a.m. You know, that's our thing. 12 midnight, 5 a.m., 3 days. After 3 days, I now sat him down. I said, the reason why we taught you how to pray in the night is because the demons will come. They will still come back. But this time, we are not going to be there. But what we taught you, that's what you will do. That's how that guy went back to the university. He was a student of engineering. He became mad at 300 level. 300, year 3. Became mad at year 3, went back and finished from engineering. That is to show you that he was no longer mad. Now, what I am telling you is that part of what the occult does is that the occult violates direct commandments, regulations, restrictions. When regulations that are directly placed in scripture, all right, are violated, what they do is that they open possibilities for darkness to thrive in the realm. So there was a decree that limited angelic type persons to estates of the heavens. Are you there? These angels that felt they were no longer under God's authority now ask themselves why they were still abiding by the regulations. When there was a civilization that was built upon the face of the earth that mirrors their rebellion, that compatibility created a ground for interaction from the angelic entities with humankind. I would like us to read it again. There are two interpretations to this particular scripture, but in my, for more sincerity, from my heart, this is the interpretation that I believe is most accurate. And I have other scriptures in the Bible to support it. All right? So I believe this is the most accurate interpretation. Those angelic forces came and had interactions with humankind. Even though I am not one of the proponents of seeking to understand the Bible by reading books like the Book of Enoch, and the other books that people read, I am not a proponent of that. The elders that canonize the Bible, All right? They had very good reason to say that those books were not inspired writings. And one thing about inspired writings is that even you, seated here today, how many of you have had this experience before? The Holy Ghost took a scripture and put it on your heart. You know why he could put that scripture? It's because he inspired it. So he could fill it up and give it to you as an inheritance, a personal covenant. I've never seen anybody on earth where the Holy Ghost took writings from the book of Enoch to... Okay, so you understand what I'm talking about. So I've answered your question, because somebody wants to ask, are we supposed to be interacting? You have not finished reading the... You have not finished reading this other one. Why are you troubling yourself? I don't believe in that. I don't believe that those writings were inspired, and it is an error for you to attempt to put them on the same platform with inspired writings. That is what I believe. And that's why I will not go into the book of Enoch to try to get their own explanation of Genesis chapter 6. I know they have an explanation there, but I am explaining it based on the limits available to us in the approved scripture. Okay? If we have so much latitude to include inclusiveness in doctrine, we'll soon begin to preach the doctrine of devils. The civilization that Cain had pioneered mirrored the type of rebellion that was in the heavens. Therefore, those angels, fallen angels in the heavens, decided to commit trespass concerning their designation and their estate, and they came to interact with humankind. Some dimensions of wickedness that is upon the face of the earth today is a function of the education that came through that species. And the Bible says that the result of that kind of interaction was that they had carnal knowledge of women and produced giants. And the word giants there is literal. And we have evidence in archaeology to show that giants lived among us some years ago. Okay? Now, so what has happened... Okay, give me my board. What has happened is this. I need to show you the things that have happened by this violation. Yes, so we'll use this side. All right, thank you so much. So what has happened here is when this restriction was violated, what was compromised was the principle of separation. The principle of separation. And that's why I had to start us out with Hosea chapter 7, verse 8 and 9. Can we check it out again? I had to start us with Hosea chapter 7, verse 8 and 9. He spoke about Ephraim, that Ephraim has mixed himself. So that's what happened in the book of Genesis chapter 6. And the reason for that mixture, are you there? Was to advance a corruption across the human bloodline because of the prophecy that God gave in the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. Concerning the seed of the woman. So you will notice that these fallen angels had dealings with women because it was to make it impossible for that prophecy to come to pass, so that the seed of man will be corrupted and there will be no pure species of man left upon the face of the earth. What happened in the book of Genesis chapter 6 is genetic manipulation. Genetic manipulation. When the Bible says that the end times will be like the days of Noah. One of the implications of that is genetic manipulation. Genetic manipulation is one of the implications of that. You begin to hear things like, what do they call that? I've forgotten those names. Yes, all of the hybrid things and the humanoids, the modifications, the chip in the brain, the reptilian lineages and all of that. All of that is, and it's becoming more, it is genetic manipulation. And that's what is going on right now. And some of their tests and stuff will soon succeed. Because most of the people that will be in the army of the Antichrist are men without souls. And that's why they are wicked by default. You have not seen wickedness. You are not seeing the wickedness that humankind is capable of. Alright? And it happens to be that those descendants of Seth, that are the men of prayer, are you following? Were the only race that was excluded from this activity because they were building they decided not to join the popular side. So this genetic manipulation, and I need to show you some of the prophecies of the major prophets in the Bible pointing to this attempt of the kingdom of darkness, how that Satan wanted to corrupt the seed of man and beast. It's not just the seed of man he wanted to corrupt. He also wanted to corrupt the seed of beast. Because Satan was not given a patent to create, was not given the right to create. So everything that is in creation is God's work. Alright? So Satan wanted to use genetic manipulation to create species that were not in God's original creation plan. And those ones will be answerable to him. So part of that effort was what this fallen angels came to do with humankind. Now, let me show you the cry of the prophets when they tried to investigate this thing through prophetic encounters that they had. Sorry, just give me a moment. I'll get that scripture. Sorry, just a moment. Okay, yeah, it was Jeremiah that I saw it. But if I go to Jeremiah chapter 31, where the scripture is, I need 2-3 scriptures to be able to build the sense of what is happening here. A time came where God had to ensure that he preserved the seed of man and the seed of beast. And that was why he called Noah. Because Noah was the only man whose lineage was preserved. Every other family had been corrupted. And it will interest you to know. Hold on for me. It will interest you to know that the animals that were existing were not all the animals that were in the ark. The animals that were in the ark were the animals that were not corrupted. You will notice like that the Bible speaks about dragons, and there was no dragon in the ark. Oh, because Satan was not just corrupting the seed of men, he was also trying to corrupt the seed of beasts. So that everything running on the face of the earth will be according to his dream. Since he could not implement it in heaven, he's trying to implement it upon the face of the earth. You know, there were a few scriptures that I highlighted from the reading. I highlighted verse 5. I highlighted verse 11. Are you there? Please, don't sleep on me. Don't sleep on me. All right. Okay, so let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. I will show you verse 5. I'll show you verse 11. Then we can now go into my actual discussion. What I'm doing here is trying to bring you up to speed before I tell you what I believe I received from God. Okay? All right, let me not jump. The scripture I was hunting for is Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 27. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 27. So you now see, it said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast." That is, hallelujah. Now, like I said, there are two scriptures I need to read before I bring you into the mystery that is at work in that scripture. This is God's strategy to restore the balance so that there will be men left for him to use. Because if we say a contaminated man, that is 97% man and maybe 3% corruption. Is that a man? So you can now understand when God says that the kings of Israel should destroy this tribe completely. Those guys were not men. Those were mutations. Those were the scriptures that people will look at and say, "What a God is this? If your God commands people to be slaughtered, is he not a murderer?" You need to understand the technology that is at work. Mutation had taken place. I don't want to go deep into it. I don't want, not for today. I will trouble you. Are the young ones, you are mentally sharp. I have the time to shake you so that you will see what is happening and touch the corruption that we are talking about. But not in this edition. You are just coming. You are just coming to camp. You just signed up on the cantonment. Part of what we will do here is inoculation and injection with scriptures, so that nothing else can deceive you. All of those tribes, all of those people that God said to Israel, cut them off completely. They were not human. There were people in whom this mutation and this genetic manipulation had prospered in. And those were creatures that only Satan could possess. They are not people that can be born again. Yeah, distraction. Oh, you must have heard the cross between lion and tiger. What's it called? Liger. Did God create that? I say I don't want to go far. But I just want to give you an idea. To make you know that you are not the only one plotting. Satan too is plotting. Let's jump back. Stay with me. In Genesis chapter 6, therefore, verse 3 is the first observation. Genesis 6, 3. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, the Spirit of God says, "I will no longer." Verse 3. He said, the Holy Ghost is saying, "I will not strive with man because he has become what? Flesh." It means when we are flesh, completely flesh, Satan has won. As powerful as the Holy Spirit is, he doesn't want to be involved in this fight. Are you there? Yes, sir. Do you realize that even in the New Testament, there is a consistent war between the Spirit of God and the flesh? The flesh is the fallen nature. The flesh is Adam. And anytime Adam is the one that manifests, maybe there's a situation, somebody insulted you, and the person that manifested was Adam. He came from the platform of the flesh. It means you yielded to the flesh, and you made your personality that day to be Adam. There is another personality that you carry. The personality that is in your spirit is called Christ. The argument in the book of Romans chapter 5 is the war of personality. As in Adam, so in Christ. The believer is the most complicated creature that is upon the face of the earth. Because he still has human life, which is in his soul. And that human life was what was corrupted in the fall and it became self. He still has the divine life, which is in his spirit. Are you there? He has, and then he has satanic life, which is sin in his mortal body that manipulates his appetite and causes him to depart away from God. You are not following me. It's complicated. That's why if you don't continue your spiritual routines, praying, fasting, deliberately, consciously, if you don't continue with, you don't need effort to sin. Oh, the system is built, it's designed for you to be compatible with sin. Are you there? That is how it is designed. But in order for you to swim against the tide, you will need to strengthen your spirit so that your spirit becomes stronger than the tide. It is impossible to live the Christian life by human energy. It is impossible. Only the Holy Ghost can empower a man to live like Christ. Now, so the first thing we find in the book of Genesis chapter 6 verse 3 is the state of flesh that man has fully assumed. Second thing we find in the book of Genesis in verse 5, the Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. The psychological realm has been captured. Oh my God. Who took my... Where is the blue one? Okay. In verse 5, we see that the realm of psyche has been captured. Then, in verse 11, there are two things there. First of all is the bondage of corruption. And B, violence. I need to explain this too. So these are the symptoms that were seen that resulted from that illegal union. First is man assuming the state of flesh and the Holy Spirit not willing to strive with man. It means that before this time of this level of corruption, there was some hope. But by the time humankind got to this level, the Holy Spirit withdrew. The Holy Spirit withdrew. Now, the psyche, man's imagination. I hope you know the language of the Spirit, that's where it comes from. When God wants to speak to you, it takes over your imagination. Yes. Your thoughts. He gives you pictures. What do you call a vision? It's through the valve of your imagination. Those are infrastructures that are built so that you can interact with the unseen realm. That's why man is a complex creature. Those are the rail tracks for interaction with the unseen realm. Stuff like imagination. Thought. That's what makes you a creature of dominion. That's why you can capture a lion and put it in a zoo and bring your small daughter to be waving to the lion. As powerful as a lion is, it doesn't have imagination. Are you there? So that's why a lion has not been able to discover any technology. The way it was, that's how it is. Because it doesn't have that kit. It is that kit that you have that makes you not ordinary. You can interface with the unseen realm. You can comprehend things that don't have structure and shape. You can manifest them and give them shape in this three-dimensional realm. You get it? But that faculty was already corrupted. His psyche was gone. Satan had taken over his psyche. His nature was falling, yes, flesh. His psyche was polluted. And if that was all, it would have been easy. But number three, what happened? There was a kind of bondage that was spoken about here, corruption. I will explain this. And what? Violence. Let me start with violence. Are you with me? So I will start by saying that God did not create any wild animal, which I know you will not accept. Because you will not accept. Let's believe the Bible. Can we do Isaiah quickly? Isaiah? Who is there? 11. Anybody in Isaiah 11? So my sister, can you read verse 1 so that we'll get the context?
The word of the Lord says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots."
Now, prophecy is type and shadow. All of this thing this man is saying, he's talking about Jesus. It's just Jesus he's talking about. So don't trouble yourself, okay? Now, but you see, the context, the situation of that scripture is in the millennial reign when Jesus will come to set up his government on this physical earth. That's what, if you have my chart, those of you that came for the discipleship training, if you have my chart, that is a section that is called the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens. For those of you that have the chart. And if you don't have the chart, please meet my brother Philip. He will transmit the chart to you. Because there is no way we can be accurate if we are not accurate with scripture. What God gave us, with which he expects us to be accurate, is the scripture and the Holy Ghost. The scripture is a great gift. It's a great gift, especially if we interpret it rightly. We can get the kind of guidance that nothing else upon the face of the earth can give us. So it's a gift that we must treasure, and we must develop the skills of how to interpret the Bible. Huh? Anybody there? Yes?
"And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him."
So this is Jesus. The scripture is talking about Jesus, and the context is the millennial reign. Meanwhile, he uses a lot of metaphors. "There shall come forth a branch," huh? "And root," you see root there?
Yes, sir.
"Branch, root, stem." What is missing? What is missing is fruit. Then you will now see the fruit that the Christ will manifest. "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." That is his essence. It will manifest as the Spirit of wisdom. This is the fruit. Revelation. Spirit of. So all those ones are the fruit his life will bear. Is that clear? I say, is that clear? Okay, jump to verse 6. Jump to verse 6.
"The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb."
So this is the symptoms. This is the government, the effect of the government of Jesus when he comes in the millennial reign. This is the effect that is being spoken about here. He said the wolf also shall what?
Dwell with the lamb.
So the wolf and the lamb. Can you see? When Jesus begins to rule, the creation will go through a factory reset to the original plan. And then you will now discover that the wolf was not created wild. Read on. Don't believe me.
"And the leopard shall lie down with the kid."
The leopard will lie down with the kid. Yes, go on.
"And the calf and the young lion."
The calf will lie with what? The young lion.
"And the fatling together."
And a fatling together.
"And a little child shall lead them."
A little child. Huh? You won't need big farmers to be taking care of heads. The little baby can lead lions. Yeah, go on.
"And the cow and the bear shall feed."
A cow and the bear shall feed.
"Their young ones shall lie down together."
The young ones shall lie down together.
"And the lion shall eat straw."
Can you say that? The lion shall eat straw like an ox. This was the original blueprint. It was this contamination that took place. You are not following me. Stay with me. You will not understand Genesis chapter 12 if I just start talking about it. And that's where I'm going. Maybe in the last session, that's when I will enter 12. Your eyes will be open. You will know what to do. Part of the effect of the corruption that took place when these fallen angels began to manipulate the genetics of men were these three consequences. Animals became wild. Are you for me? Yes, there was the mutation was that evident in creation. Because when humankind rebelled against God, creation now rebelled against man. As the corruption begins to increase, you begin to see creation rebelling against the authority of man. It was not so before. Those days he would say to a monkey, "Kai, come down here." He will come down. But now you run from snakes, even run from ants and cockroaches. So I've explained one. I've explained what? Violence. Violence is one of the results of this contamination that took place. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This is the one I want to explain now. The bondage of corruption. The bondage of corruption. Because that's where you come in. The bondage. Come with me to the book of Romans. The bondage of corruption. In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 verse 18. Sister, this is my scripture for the afternoon. Don't kill it. Don't kill it. Read properly. The bondage of corruption. The bondage of corruption. Yes, Romans 8:18. For I reckon
that the sufferings of this present time
are nothing to be compared.
Are not worthy to be compared.
Okay, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us.
With the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Now, so he's saying that your suffering. I know you when you fast and you look at yourself in the mirror, you see your neck like this. But trust me, the sufferings of this present time is nothing to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. You know my joy? You know, the suffering is in this time, but the glory is in the age that is to come. I want to see the light with which you will shine. Because our glory will not be the same. The intensity of your brilliance will be according to how much you were committed to the cause of Christ on earth. Because in trying to describe this, it took us to the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, he said, "There that are wise that shall shine like the stars." That's a form of shining. "And there that turn many unto righteousness like the firmaments of the heavens." So, you know, the level, the intensity is not different. It's in the world of lights that we'll know our rank. Ooh, I want to shine like the morning star, the glow, that one that blinds. That's how I want to shine. Every aspect of your efforts in the kingdom of God will be translated to the language of immortality, which is light. Are you there? So I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is nothing to be compared. No matter what you suffer, you got a name. People insulted you. If you know how many insults they've insulted me on social media, on TikTok, on this and that, no problem. You know, Jesus also, they gave him a name. They say he was a wine bibber. He was a gluttonous man. He was a friend of the publicans. And he cast out devils by Beelzebub. But the sufferings of this present time is nothing to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Yes?
For the earnest expectation of the creature.
The earnest expectation of the creature. It means that creation has an expectation. And creation is earnestly in expectation. What is he talking about? Yeah, go on.
Waited for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Stop. Let me show you. Note that the guys that created this problem that we are discussing, what's their name?
Sons of God.
Are you there? The guys that will be used to solve the problem they created, which is the bondage of corruption. What are they called? I need to make a statement. Hold on. Stay where you are. Let me make a statement. Need to make a statement. I've read wide on this subject. And I'm not limited to your theological blocks. You know, you are Wesleyan. You are, no, I don't subscribe. I'm looking for truth. If I find it in Wesley, I'm Wesley on that subject. If I find it here, I go wild. So, and I also know the errors that some theologians believed so that I can use, if anybody comes from that way, I know how to. And I did that for years. Okay? So now, this is the most honest presentation of this matter. The most honest description of that matter is that these sons of God are creatures that are a result of God's direct action. They were not just spoken into being, they are a result of God's direct action. So if you see, for everyone that is in this room, it took God to redeem us. It's a direct action of God. Right? So we have men that are in the category of this direct action. We have men that can be called sons of God. And if you check Luke chapter 3 verse 38, I think it's 38. Put that on the board there, let's see. Luke chapter 3 verse 38. So it is a countdown. It's a genealogy countdown back to Adam. It's a reverse engineering of genealogy. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So Adam had that designation because he was a product of God's direct act. You get that? Yes, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb before it had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became living soul. So we have angels that are in that category of sons of God. They were not just spoken into being, they were a result of God's direct action. So the angels that are in that category, they were the ones that solved the problem, created the problem. And then the men that are in that category are the ones that will solve the problem. Part of what the end time church will be is that the end time church must become that church that will begin to fulfill the earnest expectation of the creature. Go on.
For the creature was made subject to vanity.
The creature was made subject to vanity.
Not willingly.
Not willingly.
But by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope.
Now, so let us see what this man is saying. Please, my scholar, check the word for vanity in that scripture in the Greek. Creation was made subject to vanity. So let us, what's the Greek for vanity? And what's the meaning?
What is the word of truth? Perverseness, depravity,
futility. Devoid of truth. It means that creation began to serve other purposes other than its original purpose. Are you there? Okay, you are not there, but I will explain to you. Do you realize that in witchcraft, the temple of the witch is creation? They need some portions of the crocodile. They need some portions of the elephant. Need some portions of the baboon. Oh, you don't know voodoo? Okay, sorry. Let me leave you. It needs some herbs and roots in order to be able to generate some spiritual energy that will attract some demons. The temple of the wizard is creation. So creation now became empowered to serve other purposes other than the original purpose for which it was to serve. Are you there? Now, so this is what God did. Because creation was being made to serve other purposes. Are you there? God, who happens to be the regulator of everything he created, he downgraded creation a little bit so that any witchcraft that is made out of creation will not be very potent. If he had allowed creation to have the power that was given to it originally, the witchcraft arrows will be exceedingly potent. So he downgraded creation deliberately, waiting for the day where the sons of God will come. That is when he will remove the limits that he has placed over creation. And creation will be able to team up with them to fight the wars of God. Just like the stars fought in the days of the Deborah, and the galaxy stood still at the command of Joshua. I don't have time to take you to the book of Job and show you the weapons of mass destruction in the realm of God. But the sons of God cannot wield those weapons now because we are not yet matured. But when the sons come, the bondage that is upon creation, which is the bondage of corruption, it will be lifted. And the true potential of creation will be at the disposal of the sons of God. Let me give you an idea. A place can be witchcraft infested. Satan can travel through the wind and kill and assassinate. It can come through the weather, can come through the season. But when one of the sons of God comes into the neighborhood and pays his rent, and he begins to pray in the spirit, the excellency of prayer is this. Whereas Satan has covered everywhere, prayer opens gates that allows angels to come into the context. So as you are praying, there's darkness everywhere. Your prayer is beginning to facilitate angelic activity. And this angelic activity will now begin to make it impossible for Satan to use the avenues he used to use to implement his program. He wants to ride on the wind, but it becomes impossible. The wind is no longer allowing him access to ride because angels were introduced. A new balance is being created that doesn't give heed to satanic injunctions. The new reality, because one of the sons of God has come. So the bondage that is upon creation is being lifted. Creation now is at liberty to fulfill the initial errand of the ordination because one of the sons of God has showed up. We've seen places where death, there's a stream in the city where my father in the Lord is, and it drowns one man every year. One man must go. It became a consistent pattern because there were people that programmed that river to operate that way. So since it was human beings that programmed it to operate that way, and it swallows, so that they need human sacrifice in their witchcraft, in their coven, but they can't kill anybody physically. If they kill, they will jail them. So they program the river to help them swallow the people, and then their blood is fetched to carry out strange things. My father in the Lord took 3 days of fasting and prayer, went into the place, anointed that water, and he stopped taking people till today. Because when the sons of God begin to emerge, then the bondage that is upon corruption, the bondage of corruption that is upon creation, it begins to give way. Begins to give way. That darkness in your family will continue until one of the sons of God comes. Do you see the picture? Do you see the picture? So we are the ones that are designed to undo the things that those sons of God in the angelic realm, the problem they created, we are meant to solve it. Now, see, the law of the Bible is that if God creates a problem, only God will solve the problem. If angels create a problem, only angels can solve the problem. If sons of God create a problem, only sons of God will solve the problem. When God locked Noah's ark, locked it from the outside, even though they were begging Noah, Noah would have opened it, but it was beyond his pay grade. The one that locked it is the one that will come and opened it. This problem was created by sons of God, and only sons of God will be able to undo it. So I came to tell you today, we are the generation of the sons of God that America has been waiting for. And there are various bondages of corruption that has affected different spheres, even government, even every sphere. And that's why God is going to send us to those places, and the bondage of corruption will be lifted. I told somebody when I was teaching that, what's your best fruit? Yes? What? You don't know? Pineapple. What's your best fruit? What? Cherry. Now, the pineapple you ate that you liked is not the same pineapple that Adam ate. Because the one you ate now, God has already downgraded it. The Bible says that it was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by him that subjected it in hope. So God vetoed as a regulator to reduce the potency of creation, since it will be governed by a cruel master. He reduced his potency, waiting for, and he did that in hope, because he knows that someday the sons of God will return. They say India, there are many gods, spirits, there are 3,000 demons, 3,000 gods, people. So the India is a worshiper, it's a philosopher. It's just that he has not found the God, the real God. All right? But it's good. At least he acknowledges that there's God. Then when you get back, the bondages of corruption that is on the land, when they begin to give way, it will be easy for them to identify that you carry the real God. Because they would have sent some false gods to afflict you. And when they have no power over you, they have sent sickness. It has no power. So God is about to make a show in these last days. And this show that God is about to make will be through the hands of the sons of God. Sister, read, and let's finish the reading.
Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption.
The creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption.
Into the glorious liberty of the children.
Into the glorious liberty. It means that our presence will come with liberty. And everything that is in bondage will be delivered into the glorious liberty that we bring. The proof that you are beginning to number among the sons of God is that you have the authority to bring liberty. People that are bound are losing by your life. People that are in captivity are set at liberty. Oh, and you will meet bound people coming to do business with you. After you finish your business with them, you can raise some matters. What? Can we talk about this? Because I'm one of the sons of God, and our duty is to bring liberty. You will find bound people even in government. You find bound people even in the military. So we need people in the military that will be manifesting as sons of God. It's a generational thing. That is the call that God has given us as a company. Because these are the seasons of the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, as you rise on your feet, I would like you to take inventory of your family. And if you see bondage, if you see restriction, if you see captivity, oh, you are not with me. if you can trace captivity, it means that it was allowed because of a hope, the hope of the coming of the sons of God. I have a question for you. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect another? Are you the one? Are you the one? Or should we wait for your daughter? Should we wait for your son? I want us to tell the Lord, wait no more. We are ready to be filled with grace. We are ready to be empowered so that we can begin to administer liberty. Make that your prayer. Make that your prayer. You are on us. You have an assignment. You are a messenger of the kingdom of light. There is bondage to the left. There is bondage to the right. People die before their time. It is difficult for people to get married. All kinds of things. People do not last in their marriages. These are evidences of bondages of corruption. But God, oh my God. Ego sets the lead. Ebris kofatama kudia siko manteli. Alute kambela mina kudia. Iskopela hababoto kovena sika. We will not wait for another generation, because the sons of God are manifest. They are manifest as men, manifest as women, manifest as soldiers of the cross. Father, we ask for your empowerment, that we might have the authority to set at liberty such that are bound. Labo seke. Robina kusketa mina katia. Evo temanzeli tokopre gabata kunta mina salia. Evila kombe heke babobodi ya kapetali. Jaminanto kopre skaba bonda. Yama kute kampres gavata kunta. Yeko baboloto kusketa mina katia. Abres kofe lamina itatomba hezga ite. Hezka babote. The bondages of your family will not prosper in your life. Yes. You are the solution. You are not part of the problem. You cannot carry the liability of the curses, the covenants of darkness that hold the destinies of men bound. Esovilaite bakodia hasekando breko tabina katelaite esko bregedela ampalaite. Adaboko Samantalia, for the earnest expectation of the Creator waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waited. They've been waiting for so many years. But yes, we are coming. We are coming. We are stepping up. We are stepping up. Our capacity is increasing. The grace is multiplying. The authority is on the increase. We are coming. Kovelamina kosatela. Ai kambonda hababokodi. Rokombenasika rekoskabena ikope ya momomomo santa ya katola ikatala bonda makasi kobela babaya sevila kote heskaya ila bosi ila kosa babonta ila bababoseke ala babosa ikamenatia ika basketuria iku sopo isamenakida. You will be the answer. 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 You will manifest as the answer. You will manifest as the answer. As the answer. Hey. We will stand with the hosts of heaven and cry, holy is God. We will worship and adore you evermore. And we will meet in the golden city, in the new Jerusalem. All our pains and all our sorrows will be no more. And we will stand with the hosts of heaven and cry, holy is the Lamb. We will worship and adore you evermore. We will meet in the new Jerusalem. All our pains and all our sorrows will be no more. We will stand with the hosts of heaven and cry, holy is the Lamb. We will worship and adore you evermore. We will meet, we will meet. Amen. And all our thoughts will be done. We will stand, we will stand with the host of heaven and cry, holy is the Lamb. We will worship and adore you evermore. City in the new Jerusalem, all our pain and all our tears will be no more. We will stand, we will stand with the host of heaven, and cry, holy is the Lamb. We will worship and adore you evermore. We will stand, we will stand with the hosts of heaven, and cry, holy is the Lamb. We will worship and adore you evermore. We will stand. We will worship and adore you evermore. We will stand, we will stand with the hosts of heaven and cry, holy is the Lamb. We will worship and adore you evermore. We will stand, we will stand. Heaven and cry, oh, this is the Lamb. We will worship and adore you. We are deliverers. Anywhere we see the stronghold of the bondage of corruption, the hope of creation is that the sons of God will soon emerge. We belong to a different race. We are not of the race of Cain. We are the pure blood, the true breed, with the capacity and the authority to turn the tide. Oh my God. There is an answer in you for this generation. There is an answer in you for this nation. You are a bag of answers which you, God, will answer. Answer, oh God. Answer. Answer. Elibokoria. Lanko Seminaya. We will stand with the horse of heaven and cry, holy is the Lamb. We will worship and adore you evermore. We will stand with the horse of heaven and cry, holy is the Lamb. We will worship and adore you ever. We will stand with the whole.
awesome heaven and cry, holy is heaven. Oh, worship and adore you. Sevilaiko pemba hilakesko paputatali. Kofelaiko brande suke kedo koba minateli. Presko filo komba babaita kutebanteli. Jamuno keto kombrehis. Valoti jaseko branta babodoko. Mami naite kesa babambo la itamo. Presko fela kante. Kuvelanto skeso samala. Rehis esa minaiko peli. Oh! We will stand with the host of heaven and cry, holy. We will worship and adore you ever. Sebokori mama tali bokori amasik. The microphone. I'd like you to know that you are a deliverer. And if there is any here that any form of bondage is still active upon, we'll remove it in a moment so that you can be the deliverer that God has called you to be in every sense of that reality. Father, in the name of Jesus, just in case there is anyone in our midst, Lord, whose marital life has been tied down, Satan can allow the person prosper, allow the person do other things, but for marriage, he says no. Lord, who is he that speaketh? And it comes to pass when you have not spoken. So today we have come to speak on your behalf concerning these ones, Are there those in our midst, O God, whose finances have been placed on hold by spiritual means? The spirit of famine has kept them in financial captivity, and it has been like that for a long time. Oh my God. Who is he that speaketh? And it cometh to pass when you have not spoken. Are there those in our midst that feel that reproach and setback is part of their civilization? They take one step forward, they take two steps backward. One step forward, two steps backward. Father, in the name of Jesus, in our midst today, Ah, aiko babe maitai. Now repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I belong to you. I cannot suffer reproach. I cannot suffer delay. I cannot suffer imprisonment. Today, I accept the position of your word concerning my life. And every tree that our Heavenly Father has not planted, let it be rooted out. 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 In the name of Jesus. As you help me, because it will be rooted out. Let it be rooted out. Let it be rooted out. Let it be rooted out. Me to come there, or you want them to come to me? Yeah. One of us here, you went somewhere you were not supposed to go. A long time ago, though, you went somewhere you were not supposed to go. And because of that, Satan placed a mark of reproach upon you that your face will never shine. And you are in this congregation. In the next 21 seconds, the hand of God will come upon you to remove that mark. The hand of the Lord will come upon you to remove that mark. That mark that identifies you with reproach, with setback. That mark that is responsible for the reproach that you have encountered. In the name of Jesus. 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 It is time for you to be given back your destiny. It is time. Velito kumbe halitea. Oh my God. There is someone in our midst. You are innocent. You are innocent. You are innocent. I see that a crown of witchcraft was placed upon your head. But in the next 17 seconds, in the next 17 seconds, the Lord will war against it and he will remove it. It is not your fault. But we remove from you that which you wear, that which was placed upon you, the garment that was used to clothe you. I remove it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, will you come again? Emmanuel, and the church will see your holy face. Emmanuel, when you come to reign. Oh, I'm seeing a great one in our midst. Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, will you come again? the church will see your holy face, Emmanuel. When you come to reign, Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name, Emmanuel. Will you come again, Emmanuel? And the church will see your holy face, Emmanuel. So I remove the crown you have worn. Hey! Now, I want you to pray in tongues for him. Let your hand be here. See your holy face. Emmanuel, will you come again? Emmanuel, and the church will see your holy faith. Emmanuel, when you come to me. So there's a serious case now. Jesus. See your holy face, Emmanuel. When you come to me. Now listen, we have an emergency. Today we undo the spell that was done on your mind. We bring you out of the prison house where you have been kept. Break the chains and remove the fetters. The Lord will cause your face to shine. The voices you hear, it ceases this instant in the name of Jesus. Grace is given unto you. I have a story to tell before I run away. Today is Friday, so the supernatural service is tomorrow. I don't want to dabble into that until the time. But I couldn't hold this one. I couldn't hold it. Oh, Manuel. I don't know. Do you sing to Jesus? Do you? If you sing to him, you'll be powerful. Oh, you'll be powerful. You'll be powerful. Sing to him. Let's cultivate it. My God, who is playing that guitar like that? Jesus Christ, where have you been all these years? That is my instrument. If you have a man that can play it, please don't stop that. Don't stop that. If you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, let's just exercise our spirit. For he given power to the faint, to them that have no might increases strength. For even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagle. Woo! Kofilamo, Kofila Sale. Keiteko Santoria, Babe Eketo, Nikosketo Pila, Alaikum Babenale. Oh God. Kofelemi Kabosi Kabela Kuria Bahamata. Thank you, Lord. My eyes were opened and I beheld a grave. A grave. This grave is under the custody of diviners, of necromancers. I see people casting the pebbles of divination, the pebbles of divination on that grave as a platform. That grave has become an altar, and the family of somebody that is present, you've been kept in the bondage of that grave. But Jesus sent me to liberate you from the power of that grave. Tonight I proclaim your liberty, your liberty, your liberty, your liberty. Be loosed. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited. The sons of God have come. So we demand that the bondage be removed in the name of Jesus.